Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by 1000 Maniacs. Do you want to get your first 1000 email subscribers? Find out exactly what they want and create and launch a product to them? Then I want to teach you exactly how to do this. Join 1000 Maniacs if you are tired of experts telling you to build a list, develop a product, but never telling you how to do that? Yeah, me too. Well, 1000 Maniacs is your how-to against a sea of vague strategies. This step-by-step course will walk you through exactly how I went from zero to 1000 email subscribers, and I'll show you how to build your first product and sell it to them. 1000 Maniacs will only be open for a very short period of time at the end of March. So get on the pre-launch list now. Go to 1000maniacs.com, get your full checklist that walks you through every single step from getting your very first maniac to 1000, finding out what it is they want, building them a product, and launching it to them. Go to 1000maniacs.com.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a traveler, soon-to-be father, and a true lifestyle entrepreneur. He's the founder of Clients On Demand, and what he claims is the most reliable client attraction system in the world. My guest built this business helping experts create simple, strong, and repeatable marketing and sales processes that attract the perfect clients at the perfect price anytime they want. Now, let's hack Russ Ruffino. Hey guys, are you ready to upgrade your denim game? Then you need to meet my friends at Mott & Bow. Mott & Bow make handcrafted premium quality jeans. I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy, so, and usually a hoodie in the winter up here in Canada, but I'm wearing a pair of brand new Mott & Bow jeans right now that they sent me, and they're really, really, really comfortable. I kind of dig them. Not only that, but Mott & Bow has this free try-on program for jeans. You get two sizes to try at home with every purchase. You keep the one that fits, and you send the other one back for free. These jeans are already priced under market because they cut out the retail markups. But the deal is even better when you go to mottandbow.com and use promo code HACK for an extra 20% off. Go right now, that's mottandbow.com. With promo code HACK, you will get 20% off your first purchase of jeans. Order two, try them both on. Send them back the pair you don't like and keep the ones you do. mottandbow.com, promo code HACK. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for joining me. I think this is going to be a blast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm excited.
Nice. All right, let's jump straight into it. Russ, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a great question. I would say the one thing that I do that is the biggest number one contributor to my success is that I've really trained myself to think from my goals and not of my goals. And, you know, that's kind of a weird distinction, but I think it's a really important one. Now, when you're thinking of a goal, right, you're thinking about something that you want, but you're thinking about it as something that's far away, something that's distant, something that you might be shooting for one day, and then, oh, maybe one day I'll achieve this, and oh, wouldn't that be great? It tends to bring up a lot of fear, and it tends to bring up a lot of thoughts that are disempowering, and it tends to create a separation between who you are right now and the person that you want to be. So what I've trained myself to do is to think from my goals, where I think of my goals as something that's already happened. It's reality right now. It's reality today. And so I live in that reality before it actually shows up. And that might just sound like wishful thinking or something, but really, I believe it dramatically affects the quality of your decision making. So I'll just give you one quick example. Let's say, for example, that you've got, you know, a coaching company or something like that, and you know, you're not making a ton of money, and money's tight, and you just checked your bank account balance, and you're like, oh my God, there's only a couple grand in my bank account. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next month. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage next month. And then right after that, you get onto a call with a potential client. And you're on this call with a potential client, and you know that this is somebody that just isn't a fit, right? You're talking to them, and they really want to work with you, but you're like, oh man, I know this person's not a fit. I know that I shouldn't really be working with this person. So if you're thinking of your goals, if you're thinking to yourself, oh yeah, I want to make $1 million this year, but I notice I have $2,000 in the bank and I'm super desperate, you might make the decision to work with that client even though you know it's not a fit, because you're making a choice out of fear and you're making a choice out of desperation. But if you're thinking from your goals, where you're thinking to yourself, look, I know that I cannot see the money in my bank account yet, but I'm a millionaire and I'm running a $1 million business and I'm going to act accordingly, that's going to give you the confidence and the integrity to tell that person the truth, which is to say, you know what, this really is not a fit. And so there's decisions that I've made in my business that would seem crazy to normal people based on the circumstances that I was in at the time, but they turned out to be absolutely amazing, ultra high quality decisions, because I knew that I already was the person that I wanted to be and I was going to act accordingly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you're right that it sounds like it's just like sort of wishful thinking, but I know there's something really, really deep here. So if you're thinking, how is it? Thinking of your goal? No, from your goals.
From your goals. Yeah.
So how that makes sense. So that's almost like determining a goal and sort of working backwards almost rather than towards it, right? Because you can kind of, I mean, I've heard it explained as you can kind of break down steps. Like if you have that goal in mind, break down all the steps from there to where you are now. And you kind of have a path now to get there. But how do you establish these goals? How do you determine what goal is the goal for you at this point, rather than just like, I want to be a billionaire?
Well, you decide the things that you want. And if your goal is to become a billionaire, that's fine. But you just have to accept the fact that the difference between, you know, I don't know, a successful billionaire, Mark Cuban or Mark Zuckerberg or whomever, the difference between that person and you is in the way that they think. So if you want to become a wealthier person, or, you know, someone who's, you know, better in the dating scene, you know, better with guys, better with girls, someone who's, you know, better in relationships, a better husband, a better wife, if you want to become different, if you want to have a better life, you've got to change the way that you think. And so this is the problem that I see people have, is that they try to create all this change in their life by just doing more stuff. And doing more stuff is really important. But you've got to step into the mindset of the person that you want to be first. So like, I'll give you an example. If you are, let's just say you're single and you're dating, right? Because we've all been in this situation. And you're going to go on a date and you haven't had a date in a really long time. And you really don't remember how to do this. And you're, you know, the person you're going on a date with is like really, really somebody that you're super attracted to. And you've just got all these insecurities and all these fears that are bubbling up. If you go on to that date with all of that fear and desperation and neediness, you're going to have a much, much different experience than if you go into that date telling yourself, look, I'm a great guy. This person would be really lucky to be with me. You know, I hope this person is, you know, a fantastic person and we're going to have a great time either way. And I'm going to have a lot of fun no matter what happens. If you go into the date with that mindset, it is much, much, much more likely that you're going to have a good time, that you're going to relax, that you're going to enjoy the experience, than if you go in there with all this insecurity and neediness. And even if you're looking at your life and there's all, you have every reason on the planet to be insecure. You have every reason on the planet to be needy. I mean, your life sucks. You're lonely as hell. I get it. But you've got to step into a new concept of yourself. And then when you do that, you find that the rest of the world just starts to go along with it. You know, people just get pulled right into that reality. And, you know, and it's a really powerful thing. So like right now, just, you know, for example, we're trying to reach $1 million a month in my business. And that means that I have to be a lot more strict about who I let work in the company. And if someone's underperforming, you know, it sucks, but I have to let them go. You know, there's just a lot of decisions. There's a lot of things that I would not settle for if we were already doing $1 million a month that maybe I would settle for right now. And so all these decisions that I make, I've got to make it from the reality that I want.
Right. So with the dating analogy, the first date to overcome it, the goal wasn't to get married, have like all these kids and then grandkids and all these things. And now your goal in business is $1 million a month, but it's not like last month you'd had literally never made any money in business before.
Right.
So, and the idea when you say to be a billionaire, you should just have that goal, but should you maybe, so if you want to do $1 million a month, at some point you probably had to have a goal of, I'm going to make $1,000 a month on the side or in a business. Then I'm going to make $10,000 a month. Then maybe I'm going to go to 100,000. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There has to be a logical
Okay. So I understand what you're asking. So what you want to do is you want to set goals that make you stretch, set goals that are scary to you, not goals that are like impossible or crazy, but that are just so far outside of the realm of possibility of what you think is possible right now that you won't even try. But goals that are outside your comfort zone, goals that make you go, oh man, I probably can't do that, but you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. Goals that make you stretch. If it's too easy, if it's not scary, it's not a big enough goal. Right. It shouldn't be something that's like totally out there in fantasy land. It should be something that's just outside your comfort zone, just outside your capabilities. Maybe going, you know, making your first $10,000 a month would be a great first goal. And then once you're making $10,000 a month, your next goal should be $100,000 a month. And then when you're doing $100,000 a month, maybe $300,000 a month, and then up to like $1 million a month. So you do it in steps, and each step you take requires a big, big, big leap forward in the way that you think. So that's the great thing about entrepreneurship, is that by setting aggressive goals, you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to evolve very, very quickly as a human being. You have to, because these goals are so far outside of what you've been able to achieve that it forces you to grow and adapt and evolve really, really quickly.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so now we need to go back a bit, Russ, if we can. Sure. So your goal is $1 million a month in your business. So at some point you started this whole entrepreneurial journey.
Right.
And looking back, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things, that either they had this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just found they simply could not work for somebody else anymore. So Russ, I would love to know which side of the fence you see yourself on. And if you could please just take us back to when you found this out about yourself.
Definitely in the second group. I would love to lie and be like, you know, I had this calling, you know, but no, I just, you know, that'd probably make a much better story. But the reality is that, you know, I went to UCLA, I studied acting at UCLA, and my goal was to be an actor. That's where I started. I went to like a high school for performing arts my whole life. It was just kind of what I wanted to do. And, you know, I got to LA and, you know, and I was working in Los Angeles trying to do the acting thing. And when you're in Los Angeles and you're trying to do the acting thing, it means that you're probably a waiter or a bartender or a masseuse or like a personal trainer or something like that to pay the bills. So I was bartending, and I bartended from age 21 to age 31. And right after my 30th birthday, I just started to think to myself, okay, this sucks. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I remember, you know, one time I was at this other bar, not mine, but it was a different bar. And there was a guy there and he was bartending and he must've been about 45. And I was just like, okay, there's no way in hell that that's going to happen to me. I can't be that guy who's 45 years old and still bartending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just knew that I needed to figure something out and I didn't know what that was. So one day I was on break from the bar and I happened to walk into Barnes & Noble, and sitting there at Barnes & Noble on the front shelf was the 4-hour work week. And I picked it up and I read it and it blew my mind, because my whole life I had wanted to be free as far back as I can remember. And I think part of the reason why I was so interested in acting is, to me, movie stars, people on TV shows, all those people, they seemed to me to be really the only people in our society that were truly free. They had money, they could travel, they could do things. And I thought to myself, well, if I could just be on a TV show or be in a movie or something like that, then I could create that life for myself. But then when I picked up 4-hour work week, I realized there's a whole other way to achieve that goal. And that's entrepreneurship and starting a business, and maybe a lifestyle business, or maybe not a lifestyle business. But either way, being an entrepreneur and being a business owner is a way to write your own ticket. And the funny thing is that it literally never occurred to me at any point in my life until I read that book. I literally did not even know that that was possible, because my father owns his own business, but he works, you know, at the time he was working 40 hours a week. So he was, you know, sure, he was the guy in charge, but it was very much a job. You know, it was very much like you're working all the time. So I did not connect this idea of online entrepreneurship with the kind of money and freedom that I wanted until I read that book. And then as soon as I read it, I said to myself, okay, look, you know what? I don't know anything about this stuff, but I'm sure there's people that are a hell of a lot dumber than me that are making this work. So if I can make it work, I am going to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. And you are not the only one who has thought that about the 4-hour work week. I think that's obviously why Tim Ferriss became so wildly successful, because there was a sort of a turning point for millions of people when they read that book. And we had just never thought that way before.
Yeah.
And it seems so simple now when you think about it. It's like, well, obviously that exists, but so it's not that it makes sense always going through it and that it seems like it could be relevant to what you're doing, but I'm assuming, like, is there even one sort of skill or trait that you've learned from acting and like spending 10 years or more of your life studying it and wanting to be an actor that you've been able to utilize in your business?
Yes. And this came as a complete surprise to me. So when you're acting, you are, if you're doing it right, and there's a lot of really terrible acting schools out there and a lot of really terrible acting trainers out there, but I just happened to study with someone who I believe is probably the best in the world. Her name was Ivana Chubbuck, and she coached, so she just got done coaching Sylvester Stallone for Creed, and he was so amazing in that movie. She coached like Charlize Theron in that movie Monster, where she played the woman who was a serial killer. I mean, she gets these incredible performances out of people, and the reason why is because she's got like a very, very specific technique. And so being in her class for like 10 years, I really got good at stepping into other people's psychology and thinking the way that someone else thinks. Because someone hands you a script, John, and let's say it's like, you know, you're supposed to play, I don't know, a serial killer or something, right? Something that's like you've got no connection to what it feels like to be a serial killer, right? But if you're going to play that part and you're going to do a good job, you better find that connection. You better figure out some way to step into this guy's shoes, or you're just going to, you know, you're going to do a terrible performance. So I got really, really good at that. And then when I got into marketing, I picked up my very first copywriting book, which was Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy, which is a phenomenal book. It's like $8. And in my opinion, it's probably the best copy book ever written. And I realized that 99% of making this work, 99% of good marketing, is just empathy. It's really deeply understanding your customer and their fears and their hopes and their dreams and the stuff that keeps them up at night. And when I read that, a light bulb went on in my head and I said, oh, I can do this. I can do this because this is what I've been doing for the last 10 years. And so I would sit down to write something, a webinar or a sales letter or a sales video, and the words would just flow because I could understand where the person I was speaking to was coming from. I could understand their reality, their fears, their hopes, and communicate with them on that level. And so the marketing side of things was just really, really easy for me. And nobody was more shocked than I was. But I sat down and I think I wrote my first sales video in 2 hours. And the thing converted really, really well. And nobody was more shocked than me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's, I mean, you have it from acting, but Russ, there's things we can take from all of our lives. I think that if we really look and make those connections, we can use them in what we're trying to accomplish.
Oh yeah.
We really can.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't matter where you
Absolutely.
Go.
And it's essential. You've got to be able to understand the person that you're talking to
Yeah. And
put your attention on them instead of on yourself, because it's not about you. It's, you know, they're buying your product or whatever to meet needs that they have, you know? So if you've got to understand what that is, and, you know, just by luck of the draw of the way my life unfolded, that was a skill that I had from acting, and it translated really, really well to marketing and continues to do that to this day.
Nice. And do you still write your own copy?
Always.
Nice.
Always. Yeah.
So when you're doing a video, would you write it out as like a sales letter type thing and then read it? Or how would you approach that?
Well, it depends on the kind of video I'm doing. I mean, sometimes I'll do videos where I speak off the cuff, but I'll have like a loose outline and just talk. Mm-hmm. But then other times you do videos that are a little bit more scripted. But webinars are really my stock and trade. I found that webinars are sort of the thing that converts best for me. Like, we have one webinar we've got running right now. I think we've already done, I don't know, $2.5 million from this one webinar. So I find that webinars are sort of the sweet spot, because a webinar is what I call semi-scripted. where you've mapped it out, you planned out what you're going to say, but you also have the freedom to improvise in the moment. And that's, I think, the most effective way to get a real connection with someone, because you keep yourself on message, but it's not super scripted where the person feels like you're just reading off a teleprompter or reading off a script. It doesn't really give you the chance to connect to people.
So you're talking live webinars always, not pre-recorded.
Live or automated, yeah.
Do which ones convert better for you?
Well, a live webinar tends to convert better because you're really there. Yeah. But most, I would say 99.9% of what we do is automated.
Wow.
Because we can run it. We can run that webinar multiple times in a day. So just to give you an example, a typical live webinar will get like 20-25% attendance. You know, today's what, Tuesday? So let's say you were going to do a webinar on Friday and you started promoting it today. You might get maybe 1,000 people registered, and let's say, but when you do the webinar, maybe 200-250 of them would actually show up. With an automated webinar, we're getting more like 60-80% attendance, because we can give people a little more flexibility in when they actually attend that webinar. So you get three times as many eyeballs on your offer, and that totally outweighs any little conversion bump that you might get by doing the webinar live.
So if I was doing a live webinar on Friday, and I wanted to get 1,000 people to sign up and 200 people to show up, how would I possibly get 1,000 people to sign up from now till Friday?
Well, so the way that we teach people how to do it is we use Facebook ads. That's one of the things we've gotten really, really terrific at. So our process is really simple. We take people from browsing around on Facebook to clicking an ad, and then the ad takes them to a sign-up page for a webinar. They sign up, they watch the webinar, and normally at the end of the webinar, the call to action is really simple. We say, listen, if you'd like to talk about, you know, how we might be able to work together, here's how you can book a call with me and my team. And we give them a chance to book a call, and then we get on the phone with them. And then if it's a fit, we enroll them into one of our programs.
Wow.
That's the whole process. And that's what we teach our clients to do too. Now, the great thing about this has some really, really awesome benefits. Number one, it allows you to sell programs at a $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 price point right on the front end. So we don't mess around with like low ticket offers, or you've heard people talk about tripwires where someone signs up to your list and then you hit them with like an offer for like, I don't know, $10 or something or other. I think all that stuff is just a waste of time. If you have a program that's an elite program, but that really can help people, can really solve people's problems, I think that's what you should lead with. So we train our clients to do just that. So that's the first thing, is it can support a really, really high price point, which is awesome because it means you can work with fewer clients, you can give them a great experience, and you can make some seriously amazing income because you're working with fewer people, which is great. The second thing is we literally take people from browsing around on Facebook who have never heard of us before to enrolling into our programs at a high ticket price within the space of like 24 to 48 hours. So it doesn't take a lot of lead time. It doesn't take, you know, years of like, I don't know, building a blog audience or something where it takes 6 months for you to get these people to trust you. And then maybe you work up the courage to sell them something for like $20 or something. And then, you know, then you sell them something for $100 and then $500. And then, you know, no, we just go right for the big ticket sale, right for the program that can really make a difference in their lives. And this process works really, really great. And so because we've developed this is why our clients are able to get such really kick-ass results, because it's like, you make one sale at a $5,000 program, you know, you enroll 20 people that month, you just made $100,000 that month. And that sounds crazy if you've never done it before, but it really is not that complicated to do.
Wow. And so I guess Facebook ads, I mean, at that ticket level, obviously Facebook ads are still affordable.
Oh, yeah. That's a fantastic point, John. Yeah, the ROI is nuts. Like I think in February, what was it? I just talked about my team with it. I think for every dollar we spent on Facebook ads, we earned about $16.40 back.
Jeez.
So, and again, that's just the price point. And, you know, if you've got a $5,000 program, you enroll 20 people, that's $100,000. And then you only have 20 people to take care of, which is great. You know, you see these people doing these big launches, right? Where it's this huge launch and everybody mails and they sell 4,000 copies of something. And it's like, look, I don't care who you are or what your name is. There is no way you can realistically take good care of 4,000 clients. It's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to give them the training materials or whatever, and they're going to, you know, they're going to look at it. But, you know, it's information. It's not transformation. With 20 people, I can make sure that me and my team and everybody are doing everything we can to get those people real, tangible results. So I'm not just giving them some information and sort of like sending them on their way. I can really work with them and go the extra mile and make sure that mentally, physically, in terms of their marketing, in terms of everything, that they are operating at 100% level.
Yeah. And so is that the difference if somebody has, say, like a $500 training course and, say, a $5,000 training course? Is it literally the difference between just providing information and providing transformation? Like, I know that most people listening, though, are going to be like, I could never, like, I don't have enough expertise and value to provide a $5,000 course.
Yeah, but what does that mean, though? Like, this is what I'm saying. You can either solve someone's problem or you can't. And that's the way that I look at it. It's like, if someone just wants information about how to do Facebook ads, you can use Google. I mean, information is a commodity. Information is something that, you know, most people, you know, should not really have to pay for. Or they're not really going to pay for, because there's so much free information out there. But when you're talking about transformation, that's something that people are always going to need, because just knowing how to do something is radically different than actually doing it and actually being able to do it and follow it through and make it happen. I mean, I've got a million books on my shelf right now about how to get in shape. I mean, a million books, diet, exercise, everything. And it wasn't until I went out and actually got a trainer and got a nutritionist who were pushing me that I actually did it. You know, it's just a huge difference.
Nice. I love it. Okay, let's move on to projects then, Russ. In this same sort of vein, because somebody coming up with a project would want to know how to create a project and make sure that they're creating it so it is transformational, not just informational, because there'll be more value to their customer and therefore they will make more money from it. So
right.
I would love to know, Russ, you're going to hit $1 million a month, mm-hmm. meaning you've started new projects, you come up with new webinars and sort of sales funnels to put people through. I want to know if it's an internal process you have of which projects to put your time, energy, and resources into, or if you have a written process. But I would love to know what it is you go through right now to decide what the next project is that you should tackle.
That is a great question, because 5 minutes before we got on this podcast, I was just talking to my team about what our next project should be. So here's the thing. We are at the point now where we are consistently doing over $300,000 a month in sales. And I think in February, we did close to $700,000 because we rolled out a new mastermind. So you only need one offer to have a multi-million dollar business. And this is the thing that people don't understand. If you're going to do something like the Ascension model, where, like I said, you've got your $7 tripwire, then you have a $27 ebook, then a $97 video course, $100-some dollar this, and then a VIP workshop, and then all this other stuff. Each one of those is a separate product that you have to create. It's a separate sales process and sales message you have to create for each product. It's a separate follow-up sequence for each product. It's customer support for each product. And that turns into a nightmare very, very quickly. And that's why very few people execute that model and execute it well. I mean, almost nobody does. So we've built our entire business with two offers. We have an 8-week workshop that's priced at a premium price. And then if people want to continue working with us after the 8 weeks, we have a 12-month mastermind that they can graduate into if they want. And that's it. So most people are constantly worried about putting out new offers and new offers and new offers. And you don't need to do that. We've been selling this one offer, our 8-week program. We've been selling that for the last 2.5 years. In the last 2.5 years, we've done, I don't know, maybe $4 or $5 million with just that one offer. And then we just added in the new mastermind last month. And so you don't need a lot of new projects. You don't need a lot of new offers. What you need to do is specialize in one problem that you want to solve and make sure you have a program that solves it back to front, you know, head to toe, solves it. And that's what we do. And that's it. And that's all that you need. And so just now that we're at the point where we've taken these two offers and we've got a multi-million dollar business, just now are we starting to explore, okay, what's another market we could get into? Maybe what's another offer that we could get into? So my advice to the people listening would be sort of to go deep before you go wide. If you've got one product and you're not making at least a couple million dollars a year from that one offer, you need to tweak that offer, raise the price, increase the value, and go as deep as you can with that one offer before you branch out into something else. So people think that to have a multi-million dollar business, you got to have 20 products out there. It's not true. You can have a multi-million dollar business with one offer.
I love it. And is it the same then when you are, I mean, again, it's it's you saying this that, I mean, did $700,000 last month. So you have a very, very successful product. So to come up with another one, it doesn't seem easier, but you can be more methodical about it. What if you didn't have that one product?
Sure. Yeah. So the process we go through with our clients, and here's the thing, most of the clients who come to us are not teaching marketing. They're not teaching business to business stuff. They are relationship coaches. They're life coaches. They're hypnotherapists. They're performance nutrition coaches. I mean, they're in the business of helping people improve their lives on a personal level, as opposed to like business development people. But what we do is we have them come into my business and we look at all of the problems that they can solve, right? So what are all of the problems you can solve? If you're a relationship coach, right, or a family counselor or something like that, what are all the problems you can solve? Well, you can help people who have better relationships with their kids. You can have wives help better relationships with their husbands. You can help people who are dating maybe find the person that they really want to be with. So there's like maybe there's 10 different problems you can solve. What we'll do with those people is pick one problem that they want to specialize in. And we will build one offer that's usually a 6 to 8 week workshop that's designed to solve that problem. And we'll price that problem at a premium price, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, whatever they want to charge. And that's what we teach them how to solve. And that's their one offer. So kind of the traditional way of doing online marketing is totally wrong for this. The traditional way of doing online marketing is to go, okay, what's the market interested in? What are people interested in? Oh, people are interested in Facebook ads. Oh, I'm going to put together a course on Facebook ads. Have you ever done Facebook ads? No, but screw it. I'm going to put together a Facebook course and I'm going to be the next Facebook guru. That's kind of the way that like traditional online marketers operate. And that's why the quality of most programs is so low. We take that and we flip it around and we go, what is a problem that you can solve today? What's a problem that you already know how to solve? What's expertise that you already have? And then we show you how to take that expertise and package it into a program and sell that program for a premium price. So it's a totally different way of looking at it, where to me, it's not about going outside of myself and going, well, what do people want to learn? And then just kind of trying to follow, chase the market around. To me, it's about looking inside and saying, well, what's my skill set? What are the problems I can solve? And then creating a program that's designed to solve that problem.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the simplicity of it. And I love the fact that it's completely different than most internet marketing has ever been taught. Because you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, you know.
It's backwards.
I'm not judging anybody, because when I first got into the business, sure, I was good at marketing, but I was absolutely chasing the market. If right. I saw there was demand for something, I would try to figure that thing out. I would go out, I would test it a little bit, and then I would try to meet that demand for that thing. And, you know, it becomes a race to the bottom, because you've got lots of people putting out very low quality stuff. Whereas now we've got one offer that I think is really the Rolls Royce of marketing training, if you want to sell high ticket stuff. And that one offer has been enough to be the backbone of my whole business. And it's just a much more satisfying experience, because now we have clients come in and they know they're working with the best, and we show them that we really take care of them, give them a great experience and give them really great results. So it's a lot more satisfying to do it this way, at least for me.
I love it. Okay, this has been a blast, Russ, but I want to wrap up on something. Talking about satisfaction, this is a good sort of segue into this idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So you went to college to learn acting, then you spent 10 years as a bartender, and now you have a business that you're scaling very, very quickly. And I know that because you set a goal and then work from it, that you are setting goals into the future, which we need to do. But sometimes as entrepreneurs and dreamers, we have this tendency to never see ourselves as successful no matter what we accomplish. But from the outside, we look like we're skyrocketing into the stratosphere, because we are. But you'll set a metric of $1 million a month. And right before you hit that, Russ, you're going to want $2 million or $5 million. And it's what we need to do. But sometimes we end up in this gap where we just never see ourselves as successful no matter what. So I would love, Russ, if you could stop right now, turn around, look behind you at everything you've learned, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, from college, learning acting through bartending to where you are today. Can you tell me how you feel about the journey up until now?
Well, I feel great about it. And it's really interesting to ask this question, because this definitely goes back to sort of the first thing we talked about, which is thinking from your goals and not of your goals. I experience all of the joy and all of the gratitude and all of the satisfaction today that I would feel if that thing was already a reality. And so I don't think that entrepreneurs should live in this state of constant discontent, where maybe you have discontent where you always want more, and I think that's great. But the moment I set a goal for myself, I'm already enjoying it in my imagination. So last year, I, you know, was blessed enough to be able to go out and get a Bentley, which was like my dream car. And I remember that when I went into the dealership and when I got it and when I sat behind the wheel and I drove it, it was almost, I don't want to say a letdown because it was awesome and it felt great, but I had already driven it in my mind so many times before that it just seemed totally familiar and totally natural.
Man, I love it. I love it. You're good.
So I think that it is healthy for entrepreneurs to have a certain amount of discontent where you always want more. But I don't think that that discontent has to be an unpleasant thing. Because as you set these new goals, you think from these goals and you enjoy them and experience them and live them in your imagination. And that makes the path to actually achieving them a lot more fun and a lot more satisfying than if you're constantly like, oh my God, I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have this. And you're constantly feeling bad about it.
Wow. I love it. It's like, it's a way to close the gap.
Exactly.
So you're enjoying the goals already because it's like you're there and you're working from them, not to them.
Yeah. And what you'll find is that achieving those goals happens much, much more rapidly when you do it that way than if you're constantly feeling bad about it. Because if you're feeling bad about it, you're in a state that's very unresourceful. You anytime you're feeling bad about yourself, if you're scared, if you're, you know, beating yourself up, if whatever it is, it's just like you're not going to make good decisions in that state. And when you're afraid or you're anxious or whatever, you're not really thinking, you're just reacting. I think true thinking is freedom from fear.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I love it. All right, Russ, this has been an absolute blast. I would love it right now if you could. We've got to talk about your business in passing, but I would love if you could tell the listener specifically where to go find out more about you and more about your business.
Sure. So earlier in the call, I mentioned that we have a really simple process, webinar, your Facebook ad to a webinar, to a phone call, et cetera. If you want to see what that looks like, the way that we do it, so you can get your hand, get your head around it, go to clientsondemand.com/webinar. It's clientsondemand.com/webinar. And you can see our current webinar and check it out. And you know, if you feel like doing business together is a fit, awesome. And if not, you'll learn something just by checking it out. And the other place that I'd like to invite you to come is we have a private Facebook group called The Art of High Ticket Selling. There's about 5,200 people in there right now. Some really big names in the online marketing space are in there and some great discussions are happening. So if you want to be a part of that, it's totally free. Go to clientsondemand.com/Facebook.
I love it. clientsondemand/Facebook.
Webinar and then clientsondemand/Facebook.
Excellent. I'm trying to write that down. But I will link to both those in the show notes. So when you're done working out, driving, whatever it is you're doing right now, you can go to Hack the Entrepreneur and find those show notes under Russ Ruffino. So clients on demand, also russruffino.com if you want to learn a bit about him. And you mentioned Dan Kennedy's The Ultimate Sales Letter book. I fully 100% endorse it as well and agree that it is the book you need to read. And it's only about $8 on Amazon. So I'll link to that and the 4-Hour Workweek, because if you haven't had that transformation yet from reading it, I think that it's time.
Yeah, you got to read that book. Required reading.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Russ, thank you again so much for taking the time. Thanks for sharing everything with us. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
You too, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Russ. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I hope you out there listening enjoyed that as much as I did. It was a fun conversation. We got to even talk about webinars a little bit. Webinars are definitely something that I'm going to start trying to use a lot more in my business. With Jared and the showrunner, I've been doing them, and we've been doing them for the past, I'm going to say 6 or 8 months, but I haven't really been doing them with Hack the Entrepreneur yet. And I'm going to start in the next couple of weeks, actually. I'm going to be doing some free webinars to just, I think, teach some concepts and to get some good interaction with more of you at one time rather than sort of just via email. I'd like to answer a lot more questions and see what we can do. It should be fun. But let's get back to this, because I got to go through this conversation again, and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things that Russ said the first time through. So I went back and I actually got it down to 5. Then I got it down to 4, then 3, then 2. And then I listened to it one more time. And Russ said this one thing that really, really, really just stood right out to me. This one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
If someone just wants information about how to do Facebook ads, you can use Google. I mean, information is a commodity. Information is something that, you know, most people, you know, should not really have to pay for, or they're not really going to pay for because there's so much free information out there. But when you're talking about transformation, that's something that people are always going to need.
And that's the hack. Russ. This I like. And this is big. And I've talked about this before, but I might have talked about this last week even, with the idea of thinking that perhaps picked the wrong market, or they don't buy, or they're not buying what the product is or the service that you've created, and something's off. And usually it's because you are trying to, I was calling it positioning then, but I like the way Russ says it, is you're trying to sell information. And information is a commodity, and therefore it's just price. And information, oftentimes, Google tries to, I mean, that's the job of a search engine, is to help you find information. But if you are selling the transformation of, I mean, he goes on to explain, Russ, about diet books and like fitness books on his shelf, and how he can have bookshelves full of them because that's information and they don't do anything. But if you actually get a book or a product or a trainer, it's himself or herself that will actually walk you through the process and make that transformation either through your mindset, you kind of have to want to obviously be in better shape, right? It's the same with quitting smoking and stuff. It's not about just getting a better product to help you quit smoking. You have to make that transformation inside first to want to do it. So you need to sell the transformation. You have to know what it is, the journey or the change you want to make in your customer, and you have to make it clear in your offering that transformation. You have to show them the end result and how your product or service or your company in general can bring them from where they are now to where they want to be. That transformation is the value. That's where you make the sale, not in the information. It's a very subtle distinction, yet absolutely, absolutely imperative to understand. Sell the transformation, not the information. I love it, Russ. Thank you very much. All right. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, too, out there for joining us. I really do appreciate it. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there. I'm glad you decided to stop by here today. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. Get on to the mailing list. Talking about transformations, there's something really cool coming that you may have heard me mention before. It's called the 1000 Maniacs. I think it's going to be cool. 1000 Maniacs, 1000maniacs.com, or go to HackTheEntrepreneur.com/1000maniacs and check it out. Get on the list. There's going to be some cool stuff coming out about that, and it might be just up your alley. All right. I thank you so much for stopping by. I really, truly, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.